Turn to the book of Acts. So we were
there for our scripture reading tonight, and we'll be there again for the message this evening. Familiar passage of scripture. We're not going to read the whole text again, but I do want to focus on a few verses here this evening. And I realize familiar passage of scripture. Don't zone out on me just yet, all right? Give me about 5 minutes, and then you can zone, all right? No. No, but again, familiar passage of scripture, so I encourage you, don't let that fact that it's familiar just cause it to glaze, just cause your eyes to glaze over and to just, okay, I've heard this before. But with the Lord's help, hopefully this will be a help and a blessing to you as it was to me. But we're going to go ahead and just pick up in the middle of our scripture reading. We read from verses 16 to 34 just a little while ago, but we're just going to pick up right at verse number 22. So this is following the damsel that kept coming up day after day to Paul and the group that was in his companions, who was possessed by an unclean spirit, and it grieved Paul so much that eventually he just said, "Hey, come out of the woman," and the spirit did. And she had a spirit of divination about her, and so there were men that were in this city, Philippi, that would actually use her to be able to make money. And now they saw that their way of making money is no longer there. It's gone. Now they've got to find someone to blame. Well, they take Paul and Silas, and as we read earlier, they bring the accusation against them that they're bringing customs and they're bringing things to these folks there in Philippi that aren't lawful for them to receive because they're Romans. And then in verse number 22, this is where we're going to pick up. It says, "The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." Verse number 24. "Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." I'd like to take really the title of the message from the text in verse number 25, and really it's just those first three words of verse number 25. It says, "And at midnight," and at midnight. Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise your name for this evening. Again, we ask that you'd guide and direct all that is said and all that is done. Lord, I pray that you would use this message. Lord, speak to your people. Lord, this is your word. Lord, they need to hear your voice. Lord, would you use this earthen vessel in whatever way that you see fit, Lord, that your word would be proclaimed, Lord, your people would hear it. Lord, I pray that they'd be blessed by it, and Lord, I pray that it'd be a help, Lord, and perhaps maybe if there's conviction or if the decision needs to be made, Lord, whatever the case might be, use it, whatever you see fit. I pray these things in your name. Amen. In our text tonight, in verse number 25, I do want us to take notice of a few different activities that took place. And really, one of them took place as the other two were taking place. In verse 25, we read here, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." We find here three specific things that took place. Now, remind you, just think back, though, what has already transpired up to this point with Paul and Silas. All right, they're in Philippi. They've already seen souls saved, and they continue to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've got some individuals that were upset with them because they stopped them from making a profit. They stopped them from making money. And so they have Paul and Silas. They pull them out of their group. The Bible says that they had their clothes ripped from them and they were commanded to be beaten. So, and then they're cast into the prison, and it says they're cast into the inner prison and their feet are fast in the stocks. Now, as you picture this, and honestly, I don't think any of us would want to be in their place at this point in time. No one wants to be beaten, thrown into prison, fastened in the stocks, can't move, can't go anywhere. And if you are, it's like, man, what a day, right? What a day, goodness. And when it's all said and done with, it's like, all right, finally we can maybe grab some Z's, you know? But the Bible here tells us that Paul and Silas did not take that time to sleep. In fact, they did two other things. In fact, in their midnight hour, in their time of trouble, in their time of distress, in their time of struggle and trial, the Bible says here that they prayed. They first prayed and sang praises unto God. And the Bible, the verse doesn't stop there. And the prisoners heard them. So it wasn't just a quiet prayer meeting amongst the two of them. It wasn't just a quiet song service amongst the two of them. The Bible tells us that the prisoners all heard them. That means they're lifting up their voice to God. They're making sure that others can hear them. Now, it's not that they couldn't whisper and God wouldn't hear them, but you know, God heard them that night. And not only God, but the prisoners heard them that night. At the bleakest and darkest time, that was their reaction. My question is to us, at our bleakest and darkest and perhaps miserable time, our trials, our tribulations, whatever it might come, how do we react? Do we take a moment to pray and thank God and sing His praises? And do we take it even when others might hear us, even knowing what we've gone through? I'm sure these prisoners heard about these two guys being thrown into prison. It's not just, oh, who are these guys? Oh, these guys have been beaten. These are the guys that were preaching. They were teaching. But their reaction wasn't, woe is me, or they weren't singing kumbaya or just having a pity party in prison. They're singing and praising the God of heaven, even in their darkest hour. So do we continue, so in our bleakest and darkest time, how do we react? Do we continue to minister to others? Or do we succumb to the anguish of the trial and just simply say, you know what, I've had enough? Do we seek to please God or find ways to please ourselves? Or do we realize who could be affected by our reaction, whether it is to minister or to give up? You know, even when folks realize and know, hey, they're struggling, there's a trial they're dealing with, I want to see how you react. They want to see your response to the trial, to the tribulation, whatever it is. And in this case, we saw Paul and Silas bloodied, beaten, cut, bruised, sore all over, locked up in the stocks. But that didn't stop them from giving God the glory. I just want to take a few moments here and just by way of introduction here, let's note that time frame. Again, it's at midnight. Now, at most times at 12 o'clock, at midnight, many of us in here are sound asleep. We may have rolled over a third time, and we're having great sleep. Some, I realize, some work third shift, so you're unable to get that midnight sleep. But when you're able to get that sleep, it's, oh, man, here we go. At midnight, though, that's typically that time of rest. And after what Paul and Silas went through, you would have thought they would have taken some time to rest. But they used it as a time to reflect. Reflect on who God is and what they went through. Paul and Silas remembered their God. They weren't mindful. I mean, it's not like their circumstances were going to change in a moment. Hey, we're praising God. We're praying to God. Okay, our circumstances change. Poof, right? No, they were still locked up in stocks. I mean, we don't see until a couple of verses later that their chains fall off and the doors fly open. Because they're praising God and praying to God doesn't mean that the bad time ends. They're still stuck in this situation. In fact, I believe they weren't worried about what was going to happen next because they probably thought about their Savior. Remember what happened to our Savior who was beaten? He had a crown of thorns planted into his head, beaten into his head. He was spit upon, scourged, mocked. All of those things. Paul and Silas said, we're suffering just like our Savior. They recognized, hey, obviously they don't know what's going to happen next. This could be our final night here on earth. What happened to our Savior? He was beaten. After he was beaten, scourged, he was crucified. And you know, I have a feeling that they weren't worried about what was going to happen next, because God was going to get the glory. They knew their Lord was scourged and crucified, and they were just following, if I can put it this way, they were following in His steps. This midnight hour should have been a time for rest, but they chose it to be a time to reflect, and even it became a time of rejoicing. Again, they prayed and sang praises to their Heavenly Father. So just thinking about their example and applying that to our own lives, what ought we to do? Now, I'm going to mention a few things here that we already saw in our scripture here this evening, but we're going to get a little bit of scripture here as well. Typically at the Bible study, I'll say, all right, here, you get this verse, you get this verse, so just bear with me. I'm not going to do that tonight, so I'm trying to get in preaching mode rather than Bible study mode here in just a moment, all right? So, but we'll have a few texts here this evening. But first, I'd like for you to go to Romans chapter 11, please. Romans chapter 13. We're going to see five actions we can take at midnight, at that trial, at that dark and bleak hour. Five actions we can take. The first is going to be found in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And let's look at the final four verses of the chapter here, starting in verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Action number one, if we're asleep spiritually, we simply just need to wake up. We need to wake up. It is high time to wake out of sleep. For why? Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. If I can remind you folks, our Savior is coming and He's coming soon. We don't know when, but in the time that we have here, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to use it to please and obey our Heavenly Father and obey His Word? Or are we going to use it to do what we want to do? Are we watching and waiting for His return? Are we as those servants that we hear about in the parable that ought to be watching and waiting for their master to come, for their master's return? Are we ready for our Savior's return? Our Savior is coming soon. We need to wake up because He's coming soon. We need to put on the armor that God has provided for us. In verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. We ought to dispose of those things that would lead us to work the works of darkness. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, reprove them. Ephesians 6:11, in regards to the armor of light or the armor of God, it says, we are to put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles. That's the trickery, the traps, the snares of our adversary, the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. We are to walk honestly, that's uprightly, justly, with integrity, not two-faced, pure, if you will, in our walk. That's verse number 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day. And it gives us a list what not to do, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. And then lastly, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. That reminds me of Galatians chapter 5. Walk in the Spirit that you fulfill not the lust of the flesh. Folks, we need to wake up spiritually. We need to wake up spiritually. Our Lord is coming. Put on His armor. Walk honestly. And then lastly, put on Christ. First off, for justification, for our Savior. I believe most, if not all in here, have been born again. They are in Christ. Therefore, for any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. But we don't just say, all right, we got saved. Now, Jesus, thank you, and I'm done. No. Every day, sanctification. We need His help. And I think we even talked about this a little on Sunday. It is a process. Sanctification is a process. Day by day, walking in the Spirit. It's a command. Walk in the Spirit that you fulfill not the lust of the flesh. Folks, we need our Savior. We need to be walking with Him each and every day. So first, action we ought to take in that midnight, if we're falling asleep spiritually, wake up. Secondly, we need to pray. Paul and Silas, they have a great example here for us. We need to pray. Glorifying God in all that we do, and this is in regards to His will, glorifying Him in all that we do, disciple-making, loving others. We ought to pray for others and with others. Let's go back to Acts 16. Let's just notice just a couple of things here. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. So they're praying together with one another, but I also believe that they're praying for one another. But they're probably not also just praying for one another, but they're also praying for the believers that have been made there in Philippi and the other believers in the other cities that they have traveled to, praying for one another, praying for support and for comfort. They're praying for the other, I believe they'd be praying for the other believers that they would grow in their spiritual walk with the Lord. For, perhaps they're praying for even the prisoners, that they would come to know the grace of God, that they would come to know Jesus Christ. We have to pray for others and with others. We have to pray for God to work and to visit in the lives of the sons of men. Verse 25, let's go to verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." You know, when Paul and Silas were praying, they probably prayed for that man specifically as well. Prayed for the jail keeper that night. Probably prayed for those guys that beat them and had them locked in the prison. But you know, I believe, and this is, you can take this for what it's worth, this is my opinion here, I believe that they were praying for divine appointments, for an opportunity, even in this mess, even in this trial, even in this difficult time, there's got to be someone here that we can reach. If we're going to spend the rest of our lives here in prison, if we're going to make this a prison, turn this into a prison ministry, and we'll see folks saved here in the prison. They probably prayed in regards to that. We ought to pray for divine appointments, because there are individuals that are ready to hear the gospel. There are individuals that are ready. And just ask the Lord, lead us to that one. Pray for miracles to be done. Now, I don't know if they were praying for an earthquake that night, but an earthquake happened in that prison. The Bible says that those doors, the bands fell off, the doors flew open. You know, God is still the God of creation and of this universe. He can still move heaven and earth for His will to be done. Pray for the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Even in difficult times, let the Spirit lead. He can use you and me if we allow Him to. We ought to pray for others. Pray for God to work. Pray for fruit. Verse 32 and 33. And they spake unto him in the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Now I'm not sure if they saw this coming, saw the prisoner come running into their, or I'm sorry, the jailkeeper run into their room and in their cell and say, "Hey, what must I do to be saved?" I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I love for somebody to just come up to me and say, "Hey, what must I do to be saved?" "Oh yeah, here you go. This is great." Right? We'd love for that to happen. You know what? God can make that happen. Right? He can cause somebody who wants to know, "Please tell me." And that's what we've got this guy here. But anyway, we find it wasn't just this man here, but in fact, his whole house. Before I get to that, let's get back to Paul and Silas for a moment. They're in a prison. They've been beaten, bloodied, cut up, all these different things, locked up. What would you think, without outside of knowing the scripture, what would you think their attitude would have been if they didn't know Christ? What do you think their attitude would have been? "Come on, why is this happening to us? What did we do? It's like, why?" Perhaps get bitter, get mad at God. But, you know, as born-again believers with the Spirit of God in us, there ought to be something that comes out of us because of the Spirit, and that's called the fruit of the Spirit. Not to be evident in our lives each and every day. Love, joy, which there's a lot of joy going on here with Paul and Silas. They're singing and praising God. Hey, it doesn't matter if we're locked up, if we're hurting, we're sore all over. God is still good. And perhaps even that time of prayer, they're praying for others. The love of God, even on those that would be considered their earthly enemies, if you will. But out of each and every one of us, in our trial. Now, I hope and pray you don't have to go through anything that like these guys went through that night. But folks, there's going to be other trials. There's going to be other situations. There's going to be other circumstances that are beyond our control. I'm just going to have to say, thank you, Lord. Lord God, you're good. You are going to get all the worship and praise from me that you deserve. The fruit of the Spirit ought to be evident in our lives. We ought to pray. They're probably praying for fruit and the fact that souls would be saved. And would you have it? No. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and all thy house. And I believe, and take that again, grain of salt here, and I believe that perhaps that family may have been added to the church in Philippi, and they're able to tell that story of Jesus Christ. But they were probably praying for God's glory to be, for God to get the glory. Verse 34, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Folks, what ought we do at midnight at their bleakest time? Wake up. We need wake up spiritually. We need to pray. We just need to worship. John 4, 23 and 24. I'm going to quickly turn over there. If you're able to get there quickly, fantastic. If not, no problem. But the third thing we have to do is just simply this: worship. Again, give thanks, sing praises. Jesus, in his talk with the woman at the well, they're talking about where they're going to worship. Jesus said to her, "The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Folks, I believe that in order for us to truly be able to worship our Heavenly Father, we need the Holy Spirit doing the worshiping through us. Psalm 107 and verse 8. And really, we could see this verse numerous times through Psalm 107, but I'll just take verse 8 here. It says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Then let's go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, we ought to worship, to adore our Heavenly Father, praise him, lift up his name, exalt his name. Hebrews 13, verse 15. "By him," that's Jesus, "therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Folks, in that midnight hour, worship our Heavenly Father. Action number 4, speak. Speak the word of truth, or speak the word of the Lord, for it is truth. Now, in the prison house, everybody that's in the prison house, they're good guys, right? They paid their taxes. They made sure to walk the elder across the street. They were doing everything right. They were crossing all their T's, dotting all their I's, right? They were in there because they were the greatest people on the earth, right? That's the reason why they were in prison that night. Probably not. I think there may have been. Anyway, but think about the guys that are in prison that night that shared the prison house with Paul and Silas. And the men that heard them that night. There are those that were perhaps ignorant of the truth, those not knowing of the grace of God. That was probably the majority of them that night. There are those that were down and out, thinking that there is no hope for them. They're perhaps on the verge of doing something terrible, in need of rescue. There were perhaps some there that were actually seeking and wanted to know, there's got to be more than this. Those hoping that there is more than just simply despair. But we do know something about all those men. All of them were sinners. And all of them needed to hear of the Savior and his free gift of salvation to them. Folks, I realize we walk outside these doors. We're not in prison. We're not. But do you realize that there are people that we walk by each and every day that are ignorant of the truth? They have no idea who Jesus is. They believe in a higher power. They believe in a God. They believe in something or this, that, and the other thing. But they're ignorant of the truth of what God's word says. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he came to save them by dying on the cross, paying for their sin. He came to forgive them and give them eternal life. But many are ignorant of that fact. Many are down and out, thinking that there's no hope. This is it. This is the only life that I've got. I'm going to live it up, and then that's it. They don't think there is anything else. Perhaps they're living in despair, and they're on the verge of doing something horrible, and they need to be rescued. And Jesus can do that. There are those we walk by that are seeking, who hope that there is more than this life. They need to hear the gospel. Many of us are probably just like them at one point in time. We were, as Paul has said it in his epistles, the children of disobedience who needed the Savior. And we walk around and walk by them each and every day. They're just like those men that were in the prison that night, all need to hear the gospel. So what should we do? Speak. Speak the word of the Lord, for it is truth. And there is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what do we need to do in our darkest hour? If we're asleep spiritually, wake up. We need to pray, seek God's face. We need to worship, give him thanks, sing praises. We need to speak up, speak his word. It is truth to all. And then lastly, rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice in the saving and the redeeming of the lost. And even rejoice in the suffering and reproach that we'll suffer for our Savior. Folks, Paul and Silas, they didn't know what was coming next. They had no idea what was going to come after that next day. Set free? We're going to be kept a little bit longer? What's going to happen next? Well, regardless of what's going to happen next, let's rejoice in our Savior. Let's pray. Let's seek his face. And hey, maybe the Lord will do something for us and deliver us out of this mess. Oh, he did them one better. Not only did he deliver them out of the mess, but he brought someone to them that they could rejoice, that they could tell of the Savior, and then later rejoice with them. In verse 34, and when he had brought them into his house, he sat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You know what, folks? If you haven't gone through a midnight hour, it's going to come. If you're in one, this too shall pass. And if you're in one, guess who's right there with you? Last time I checked, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Those three Hebrew boys were in the fire, but there was a fourth one that was in there as well. Hey, that's the Son of God. Hey, they're probably praying, Lord, fire's coming. Can you do something now? Hey, Lord, it's hotter. Can you do something now? Lord, they're throwing us in now. Oh, we're in the fire. Oh, hey, Lord. You know what? In your darkest, hottest time, bleakest time, difficult time, if you're asleep spiritually, hey, wake up to him. Pray, seek his face. Give him the glory and praise that he deserves. Worship him. Speak his truth. Speak his word, for it is truth. Rejoice in him. You know what, folks? We have a wonderful opportunity as Christians to minister in this world. And as a pastor friend of mine puts it, this is the greatest time to be alive. We have been given the greatest opportunity to reach the lost for Christ. So let us use the time we have wisely, be good stewards of it. We have much to do in a little bit of time. So folks, may, as we close here, at midnight, that dark time, wake up spiritually, be in constant prayer, seeking your Father's face, worship him daily, speak up for him, rejoice because of his never-ending work on the lost and his continual work in each and every one of us. Folks, I would encourage you, even at midnight, give him the glory, give him the praise, seek his face forevermore. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise your name for this evening that you've given to us and for this opportunity, again, that we can open up your word. Lord, we thank you for the examples that Paul and Silas, we were able to take from them, and Lord, be able to glean from your word what you would have of us, and Lord, what you expect of us to do in times of trial and tribulation. Lord, I pray that if our first thoughts and first actions weren't to go to you, Lord God, you'd forgive us. And Lord, may we seek your face. Lord, if we're in the middle of a trial even right now, or tribulation, or a struggle, Lord God, may we give you the glory. May we say thank you for it. Lord, you know exactly what we need. You know exactly what we need and when we need it. Lord God, may we trust you. May we rest in your almighty, all-powerful hand. Lord God, I thank you for who you are. Pray these things in your name. Amen.